Well, after Dr. Strickland's powerful and enthusiastic prayer, and now Dr. Holloway's reading of the scriptures, with my Southern Georgia drawl, I'm afraid to even say anything this morning. Goodness, what gifts they are to our seminary and college family. Let me begin by saying how honored we are to have all of you here today, and especially do I wish to extend a welcome and a congratulation to these graduates. Well done. And we are very, very grateful for you and very proud of you and honored, genuinely, that God in his kind providence brought you to be a student at Southeastern and now after today, a member of the Southeastern family. I want to challenge you this morning, as well as the entire congregation, with five words that can change the world. Many of you know, in fact, probably all of you know, that on April the 21st of this year, Pope Francis died in Vatican City. He will be known for many things, certainly one being his liberalizing of certain doctrines and tendencies within the Roman Catholic Church. But perhaps what he'll be known for best is a response to a question that he gave in July of 2023 when asked about moving forward in the Catholic Church with the ordination of homosexual clergy. His response was simply this: who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Now, it's not surprising that the secular media and more liberal theologians applauded his statement, ignoring or rejecting the clear teachings of the Bible, but there is no debate that those five words have had profound impact upon the Roman Church. But today I want to challenge you all, graduates, spring graduates of 2025, with five simple words. And these five simple words are not the opinion of a man, certainly not mine. They are words that come directly from God in his inspired and inerrant word. And they are five words that I pray will accompany you all the days of your life and your ministry, wherever you go and whatever you do. They come from one of Paul's letters, a prison epistle, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, where Paul simply says, "Speak the truth in love." Speak the truth in love. And these five words are indeed filled and are pregnant with supernatural energy and power, because three of those words are words that flow very directly from the nature and the character of God. Speak, truth, and love. And so what I want to do this morning is just take a few moments and challenge you and make three observations from these words that I do believe can transform the world, transform relationships, and also words that indeed should accompany every faithful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak the truth in love. First of all, note the action that we engage. The text begins, speak. It's in the present tense, so it speaks of a continuous action. You are to be known as a truth teller. People should have no doubt or any question about whether or not you're speaking the truth when you open your mouth and words come forth from it. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, translates it this way: God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything we do. Brilliant philosopher Francis Schaeffer, whom is well respected on this campus. In fact, one of the graduates today with his PhD did his dissertation on Francis Schaeffer. Schaeffer wisely said, "The infinite personal God is there, but he is not silent." That changes the whole world. And the fact of the matter is, the Christian God is indeed there, and he is not silent. It is very accurate to say of him, he is a talking God. And because we are his children, we are to be talking sons and talking daughters. We speak to our families and our friends. We speak to our neighbors and the nations. And we speak truth. We speak of his grace and his mercy and his love and his kindness and his righteousness and his holiness. We speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that will save any man or any woman who will repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. We speak. And we speak to anyone and we speak anywhere. We speak on behalf of the great speaking God. That is the action that we engage. But secondly, we are also to make the announcement. There is an announcement that we proclaim. We speak, but what do we speak? The truth. You see, the Bible is very clear. God is serious about the matter of the truth. In fact, how we speak and its relationship to the truth is repeatedly addressed throughout the Bible, especially the book of Proverbs. Here are just a few references from that book of wisdom. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. There are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among brothers. God hates those who lie, who wrongly use their mouth and their tongue and speak lies rather than truth. Proverbs 12, 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12, 19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 20, 17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Proverbs 21, 6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. But perhaps the last reference in the last book of the Bible is the most haunting to me, Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. He who has conquered shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, our God is a God of truth, and truth matters to our God. Our God indeed teaches us that his truth is eternal. It's not relative. His truth is essential. It's not an optional thing for us to think about or to consider whether we will speak it or not. And truth in our age especially is needed, even though it is not always wanted and it is not always popular. What kind of truth do I pray will accompany you along your life and ministry as you graduate from this place today? There are so many I could talk about, but I will just highlight a few. One, never hide from or draw back from the truth that there is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. There are not many ways to God. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Deny the truth of the exclusivity of the gospel. You're calling Jesus a liar. We do not apologize for telling the world there is one Savior, and his name is Jesus. We don't apologize for the fact that we indeed believe that God has given us his word, and because it is God's word, it is infallible. It is inerrant. It is completely true and trustworthy. It is the only completely true and trustworthy source in this world. And we never draw back or apologize for our conviction that this is indeed the very word of God. We indeed advocate for a sanctity of life ethic, not a quality of life ethic. We believe that all life is sacred from the moment of conception to natural death. We stand against firmly a culture of death. And we do indeed proclaim that everyone from the moment of their conception is an image bearer of God and therefore worthy of love, respect, and protection. We believe in the sanctity of sex within marriage, within heterosexual marriage between a man and a woman. We believe indeed that is God's plan for human flourishing, and we will not allow the tides of modernity to convince us that anything other than that is what God designed and what God planned. We also affirm without any apology that God indeed speaks of grace over legalism. He speaks of kindness over harshness. We understand that we do speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. Then we also indeed affirm the wonderful truth that God loves everyone, that God has a love for all of humankind, and that indeed is why we are so motivated here to be Great Commission Christians, recognizing we need to get the love of God through the gospel to every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. We will speak the truth when it's popular, and we will speak the truth when it's not popular. We will speak the truth when people applaud, and we will speak the truth when people boo. We have no option to do anything other than speak the truth of God. And so that is the announcement we proclaim. But thirdly and finally, what is the attitude we cultivate? Well, it's very simple. We speak the truth in love. Now, let me tarry here for just a moment. This is a place where many Christians have missed it, where many Christians have failed to live up to what God expects of them. They have forgotten that, yes, you must say the right thing, and it's wise to say the right thing at the right time, but they have forgotten that it's also important to say the right thing at the right time in the right way. And you see, the Bible is so clear. Love without truth is nothing more than mere sentimentalism. But truth without love is often judgmentalism and legalism. And let me say something to the congregation that's here this morning. Some of you are here this morning. I know this because I asked yesterday, and you're not a Christian. You're not a follower of Jesus Christ. And there may be a large number of reasons why that is indeed the case, but I do know that the odds are pretty high that some of you may be here today and you have never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ because sometime in the past, either you or someone you love was badly mistreated by the church. We acknowledge that. The church is not filled with good people. The church is filled with forgiven sinners. And we acknowledge sometimes we say things wrongly and sometimes we act in inappropriate ways. And I just want to say to you this morning, if you are here today and you are not a follower of Jesus, and you were hurt at some time in your life, or someone you love was hurt at some time in your life by a Christian or by a church, I want to apologize and tell you I am so sorry. And I would ask on behalf of those that treated you that way that you would forgive us. And I would plead with you, don't let the misbehavior of someone who calls himself a Christian block you from the gift of eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ offers you today. Listen to me. He will never disappoint you. He will never let you down. He says, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to be your Savior, and he will love you with a love that you could never, ever even imagine existed. And so don't let our mistakes keep you away from the wonderful Savior who shed his blood and died on the cross that all of your sins might be forgiven and washed away. Graduates, the world will give you its ear because it believes you love them. And they will believe that you love them when you serve them, which is why I asked Dr. Holloway to read that text from Mark chapter 10, because I believe with all of my heart, you are never more like Jesus when you humbly serve other people. And when they see you doing that, their ear will be far more receptive to hear you speak the good news of the gospel. You see, the way that we love is so beautifully portrayed a number of times in the Bible. The scripture teaches us that the kind of love that we're to have for the world is the kind of love that a husband should have for his wife. It's the kind of love that Jesus has for his church. And it's the kind of love that we, as followers of Jesus, walking in his footsteps, extend to the world. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let me conclude by just pointing out, do you see how beautifully the gospel mandate is centered in Christ in these five words? Speak the truth in love. Speak. God has spoken, and he has spoken in his Son, the Word that became flesh. Speak the truth. As I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 reminds us that Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. Speak the truth in love. It used to be the most famous verse in the world. Tragically, not so much anymore. Maybe we can help recover it in your generation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And I believe those words were ringing in the ears of the Apostle John when he wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus lived the life you should have lived, but you didn't. And Jesus died the death that we all should have died, but don't have to. And Jesus paid the penalty for sin that you should have paid, but won't have to if you hear the truth that I've spoken today. Speak the truth in love and see the truth in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In every graduation that I have participated in since the year 2004, I have not failed to do what I'm about to do now, and that is to present the gospel one more time and invite those of you that are here today that are not Christians to make what I know is the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life, and that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And so I'm going to follow in the footsteps of a hero of mine by the name of Billy Graham, who completed almost every sermon that he ever preached in all of his evangelistic rallies, where he would lead people in what is known as the sinner's prayer. Now, I want to be clear. The words, as you would articulate them, is not the key. The issue is the attitude of your heart. But I can promise you this. As I pray this prayer, you prayed in your heart, I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God that God will hear the words of your heart. He will answer the words of your heart, and he will indeed save you from your sin. So if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you want to be, God is speaking to your heart right now, then I invite you just to pray this very simple prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much that you came into this world to show us the truth and to speak the truth in love. I thank you that you love me enough to tell me the truth, even when it may be uncomfortable. And I thank you that you teach in your word. I am a sinner. I need to be saved. And you came to save me. And so I acknowledge to you today, I am a sinner. I have done things that are wrong. And I believe with all of my heart that when you died on the cross, you paid in full the penalty for all of my sins. And when God raised you from the dead, it was his stamp of approval on what you had accomplished. Today, right now, I repent of my sin and I put my faith and trust in you. And I claim the promise of your word that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, I thank you that you answer the prayers of humble sinners like me. And I believe from this day forward, my life is going to be different, and my eternal destiny is now set to be with you in heaven forever and ever and ever. And Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that anyone praying that prayer, you have heard, you have answered, and you have saved them. And Lord, we celebrate that decision. And after this service comes to an end, when we're outside greeting one another, Lord, I just pray that those that have trusted you today would go up to the graduate that they came to honor today and just simply say, I'm so proud of you, but let me tell you what happened. When Danny prayed that prayer, I prayed it with him, and I believe with all of my heart that God heard and that God has saved me. Lord, I know that the celebration of getting their diploma will pale in comparison to the joy of another brother or sister coming into the family of God. And God, I thank you that as these graduates go, they will go to speak the truth of the gospel. And they will speak those words that the world desperately needs to hear. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He raised his son from the dead. And if you will repent and trust in him, he will save you. What a glorious message we have to take and to speak, speaking the truth always and forever in love to your glory. And we ask and pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.